Parshas Koirach. Moshe emes v'seirosai emes. Moshe is true and his Torah is true. From every parsha of the Torah, we learn very special lessons. One of the many special, wonderful lessons we learn from this parsha is to believe and trust in the words of Moshe and in the words of all of our holy tzaddikim. But Kindalach, Korach, learned this the hard way, that is, by getting swallowed up by the ground when he didn't want to believe the words of Moshe. Which words of Moshe? And how did this happen? Well, it all began like this. Korach was part of a very special family. You see, Levi's son Kehas had four children, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Now Amram the Bechar had three children, Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. Yitzhar, his brother, also had three children, Korach, Nepheg, and Zichri. Now since Moshe and Aaron's father and Korach's father were brothers, that makes Moshe and Aaron first cousin of Korach. You can just imagine how proud Korach was to have such special cousins. Now Korach also had other cousins. His father's youngest brother, Uziel, had three sons, Mishael, Elitzaphan, and Sisri. So they were also cousins of Korach. And they were all very, very special. So you can just imagine how special Korach's family was. He came from such great tzaddikim, with such special relatives. In fact, the Torah tells us that Korach himself was also a very great Talmud Chacham. He knew a lot of Torah. He was also one of the great people who had the schus, the merit, to carry the Aron. As you remember, when the Yidden traveled in the Midbar, wherever they traveled, they took along with them the Mishkan and all of the Kelim, all of the parts of the Mishkan, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, and also the very special Aron. But how did they carry it? Well, this was the job of the Levim, who had the great Schus to carry the special kelim of the Mishkan. And Korach was one of those who carried the Aron. Just imagine what a great schus he had. Now, something happened which Korach thought was very, very strange. When it came time to appoint a Kohen to be together with Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, Hashem said that the son of Aharon, Elazar, should be the Kohen to do the work in the Mishkan. That is, the work that has to be done as a Kohen. Elazar's younger brother, Isamar, was appointed to be the Memuna, that is, the one in charge of all of the Bnei Kehas, that is, the whole family of Kehas, all of those Levim, had one monitor above them, and that is Isamar, the youngest son of Aharon. Wow, what a schus does Amram have! His two sons, Moshe and Aharon, are such great people. Moshe, the leader of all the Yidden, Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, and now Aaron's two sons, Elazar is the Kohen, Isamar is the Mumuna, the one in charge of the entire family of Kahas. That is, he was in charge to see that everyone does their job properly. All the Kalim, the parts of the Mishkan that had to be carried, was all through the hands of Isamar. Now, there was one more job left. That is, who is going to be the Nasi of the family of Kehas? Isamar was the Mamuna, the one in charge of all of the carrying and all the work that was done. But who was their leader? True, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, but he was the leader of all the Yidden, all of the Nasiim. But the Bnei Kehas themselves needed one leader, one Nasi on top of them. And who did Hashem choose? Elitzaphan, the son of Uziel. Now when Korach heard this, he was shocked. He was so upset. Angrily, he thought to himself, I don't understand this. Elitzaphan's father, Uziel, is the youngest of my father's brothers. My father was second of the brothers. Okay, Amram is the Bechar, the first of the brothers. So his children, Moshe and Aaron, got the highest positions. But next, if there is any more jobs available, and they need anyone to take those positions, who should be next? My father's children, since my father is second in the family. And of my father's children, I'm the Bechar, so I should be given the job first. Why was it given to Elitzaphan, who is from my father's youngest brother? That is not fair. First, Moshe gives his brother the job of being the Kohen Gadol, and Aaron's children both get very special jobs. Elazar, the Kohen, and Isamar is the Mamuna, the monitor over the Bnei Kehas. And then when they need a Nasi, who does Moshe choose? Elitzaphan, the son of the youngest brother of my father. Why wasn't it I? Yes, Kindalach, Korach made a big mistake. He thought that since in his mind he came next on line, he should be given the job. But he didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu does not choose anybody without first being told by Hashem. Whatever Moshe says, whatever Moshe does, is only because he was told to do so by Hashem. Korach was indeed a very great man. As I told you, he came from a very special family of the Bnei Kehas, first cousin of Moshe and Aaron. He was one of those who were chosen to carry the Aaron. He was a very smart and learned man, a great Talmud Chacham. Also, Korach saw with Ruach HaKodesh that from his family there is going to come great, great people. For example, Shmuel HaNavi. He also saw with Ruach HaKodesh that 14 groups of Levim, who will also have Ruach HaKodesh, will come from his family. Korach thought to himself, since all of these great people are going to come from my family, how is it possible that I am just a simple Levi and not given any special position? Another thing, Kindalach, was that Korach was very, very rich. How did he become so rich? In fact, all the other Levim were not rich. In fact, not only they weren't rich, many of them were quite poor. When it came time to take away gold and silver from Mitzrayim, Shevet Levi had no share in it. Moshe commanded that every Yid who has worked for the Mitzrayim should take from the gold and silver. But since Shevet Levi have never worked for the Mitzrayim, as we remember, that during the time when all the Yidden were working in Mitzrayim, Shevet Levi continued learning Torah. Also at the Yam Suf, when the gold and silver was swept up from the Yam Suf, from the Egyptian wagons and all the jewelry and good things that came out of the Yam Suf, all the Yidden took for themselves gold and silver, but Shevet Levi did not. They were just not interested in gathering all the gold and silver. They were busy studying Torah, and that's all that they cared for. So how was it that Korach, who was from Shevet Levi, became so rich? Well, Kinolach, Korach was different. He was money-hungry. In Mitzrayim itself, instead of sitting and learning Torah a whole day, he went to work for Paroi in his palace. Yes, he was a treasurer for Paroi. He had hoped that the Yidden will remain in Mitzrayim even after Moshe frees them from the hard work. Even after all the Mitzrayim will get punished, and the Yidden will not have to suffer from Paroi and the Mitzrayim, he hoped that the Yidden would stay in Mitzrayim, and then he would become the owner of all the gold and silver and treasures of Paroi. Now, Kindalach, how did Korach become rich, since they have all left Mitzrayim? Well, as you remember, when Yosef HaTzadik was in charge of Mitzrayim, he hid away in secret hiding places treasures of Paroi. Korach was lucky to find one of these treasures. That's right, he found one of the hiding places. And once he found it, he took it for himself, and that's how he had become one of the richest people who ever lived. But do you know, Kindalach, because he used his riches in order to go against Hashem, against Moshe and the Torah, that's why, after Korach was punished, nothing of all of his belongings was left. His gold, his silver, all of his possessions were gone forever, as we'll soon see further in the Parsha. Now, Korach was really a very smart man. So how was it that he went against Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, this was because his wife was a big marsha'as. She was very wicked. She's the one who gave him the idea to go against Moshe. And unfortunately, Korach listened to his wife. Just like as we remember the story of Purim, when Haman's wife, Zeresh, gave him the idea to build up the gallows 50 amas high for Mordechai, little did he realize that by listening to his wife, he'll end up suffering from it himself. Yes, Haman was the one who was hung from the gallows. The same thing with Korach. By listening to his wife, he just got himself into trouble. Unfortunately, Karach's wife was no tzaddikus at all. She was a big marsha'as, very, very wicked. She said to Karach, "What do you think, Karach? Do you think you are less important than Moshe and Aaron?" Karach's wife really convinced him that he was so great and that he shouldn't let himself just be led by Moshe and Aaron and not being given any very special position as Elazar, Isamar, or Elitzaphan. Yes, the more Karach listened to his wife, the more angry he became. He wondered, "I don't understand why Elazar became the Kohen. I'm also just as good as Elazar." Karach also calculated that even his name adds up to the same number as Elazar's name. Elazar adds up to 308. Karach also adds up to 308. Yes, Karach really thought that he is equal to Elazar, and therefore deserves to be the Kohen, just as Elazar. And the more Karach thought about this, the more he convinced himself that Moshe was making a mistake. "I cannot believe that Hashem is the one who told Moshe to give out these positions so unfairly. Moshe must have done this on his own. Who says that everything he does is from Hashem, as he says?" You see, Kinalach, Karach, who was such a wise man, lost his wisdom only because he was seeking and looking for kavod, for honor. A person should not run and look for honor. A person should look for the truth and do what Hashem wants you to do. But by looking for honor, he lost everything else. Even such a great Talmud Chacham and such a great man as Karach went off the right track just because he was looking for honor. And so on and on, Karach and his wife were talking about this. Especially one day when something very strange happened. This was when Karach came home from the Mishkan one day and his wife called out and said, "What? I don't recognize you, Karach. What happened to you? Who has shaven you bald? Wow, I can't even recognize that it's you. Who made you look so ugly?" This was Moshe Rabbeinu. More than that, first Moshe and then Aaron lifted me and waved me up and down. What a shame. Then Moshe told me that now I am pure and I can work in the Mishkan because I did that which Hashem told him to do to us, to all the Levim, to get us ready to serve in the Mishkan. And one of the things were that we should be shaven bald. Ridiculous! You see how much Moshe hates you? He just made up the idea of shaving you in order to make you look funny. "Oh no, you can't say so, because Moshe afterwards did the same to his own sons." "Oh, what does he care as long as he can make fun of you?" Now Karach got even more angry and more upset and decided that he's going to get people to go against Moshe. He got some followers to go along with him. But first he did not dare to go fight against Moshe openly. He was afraid that all the Yidden who admired and loved Moshe so much will just kill Karach for trying to go against Moshe. Now that it is already the second year that the Yidden are in the Midbar, after the story of the Meraglim, Korach thought that now is a good time to make a fight, a rebellion against Moshe. Yes, now that many Yidden have died, as we have learned in Parshas Bahaloscha, the Yidden who died in Tav'era and in Kivrei Satava, especially what happened in Parshas Shlach, that all the men who had gone out of Mitzrayim, that they're all going to die in the Midbar, and only their children are going to go into Eretz Yisrael? Moshe wasn't able to take off this Gezerah with his tefillah? And there were many Yidden who thought in their heart that being under Moshe's leadership, they suffered a lot. So Korach thought, he believed, that he can now get some followers to go against Moshe. One day, when he returned from the Beis HaMedrash, he came into his tent, and his wife inspired him and gave him an idea to start an argument with Moshe. Tell me, Korach, which halacha did Moshe teach you today in the Beis HaMedrash? He taught us the laws of tzitzis. We should wear knotted strings on the end of our four-cornered garments. One of the strings should be techeles.
And what is this techeles?
That is a string of wool which is dyed with the blood of a creature called chilazain.
See what silly laws he's teaching you? Why should you only have one tchelis string attached to your tzitzis? I could make you a garment which is completely tchelis.
This put an idea into Korach's mind, how to start arguing with Moshe. Korach first went around telling the people, "What do you think Moshe is doing to us? Don't you realize he's taking all the special work of the Mishkan for his own family? Why doesn't he give everyone a chance to serve in the Mishkan?" To his own relatives, Korach said, "Why did Moshe make you only Leviim and not Kohanim? He made you just as Leviim, which means you are assistants, helpers for his brother Aaron and his sons." Then Korach went to the Bechirim of all the Shvatim and he said, "By what right did Moshe make you unfit for the work in the Mishkan and put the Leviim instead of you?" As you remember, Kindalach, after the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, Hashem said that the Bechirim cannot do the work in the Mishkan anymore. Instead, the Leviim will do it. But to this, Korach complained, "Why did Moshe take away the work from the Bechirim, from the firstborn, and give it to the Leviim?" Now, Korach went to his own neighbors, who lived right near him. That is, Shevet Reuven. He went to the families of Reuven, and he said, "Reuven was the firstborn of Yaakov's sons. He was the Bechor. Look what Moshe did. When there was the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the Nesiim brought their karbanos. Who was told to bring the first karban? Not the Nasi, the leader of Shevet Reuven, but instead Nachshon, the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. And do you know why? Simply because Aaron married Nachshon's sister, Elisheva. So because it's his relative, that's why he told Nachshon to be first." Kindalach, we know the truth, that whatever Moshe says is only because that's the way he was told by Hashem. Hashem wanted Nachshon to be first because Shevet Yehuda is the leading Shevet. The Shevet who is supposed to be first. Korach continued, B'nai Reuven, why do you allow that Moshe gives away the kahuna, the job of being a Kohen Gadol, to Aaron? Until now, the Becharim used to bring Karbanos. And now Moshe made that his brother Aaron should be the Kohen Gadol? They all answered Moshe and said, Moshe did it only according to Hashem's commandment.
Impossible! Called out Korach. Moshe himself is the one who decided so. He's the one who decided to whom to give which position. What makes you think that only Aaron deserves the position of being the Kohen Gadol? You are all great enough to be Kohanim. Weren't we told by Hashem, by Har Sinai, V'atem tihiyu li mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, that you shall be to me a kingdom of kohanim and a holy people? And if you want to tell me that the Becharim lost their chance of being the kohanim, that is, the workers in the Mishkan, because they sinned with the golden calf, then Aaron also should lose his chance, because he also had a share in that sin. There should be equal rights for all who are worthy of high positions. In fact, I myself deserve to be a Kohen even better than Aharon, because I am a Bechar, and I had no share in the Chet HaEgel, in the golden calf. In order to make his followers feel secure, Korach invited them to a big, big party, at which much wine was poured. They drank, they ate, and had a wonderful time. As they were having a good time, Elazar, the son of Aaron, came into the party. What did he come for? Well, the Torah tells us that whenever a Yid shechts an animal, certain parts of it should be given to the Kohanim. And that's what Elazar came for, to collect from the slaughtered, the shechted animals, the parts that go to the Kohanim. Now that Elazar came in, Korach took the opportunity to show his brilliant and bad ideas, and make fun of the Torah and of Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach made up the following story. Listen, everybody, to this story that I'm going to tell you. There was once a poor widow with two daughters. They had a field, one and only field that belonged to them. She wanted to plow it in order to plant seeds, to get something to grow from it, to have some food for her family. She had an ox and a donkey, and she wanted to put them together in order to do the work faster and better. But Moshe warned her, "You're not allowed to put an ox and a donkey together to plow a field." So she had to spend a whole day working with one and only ox. Boy, did she have a hard time. Then finally, when she was about to plant the seeds, she took a basket full of seeds, and Moshe said to her, "Don't put two kinds of seeds together in your field. We're not allowed to mix two kinds of seeds together when you're planting." Later, when it came time to cut off the wheat, there was Moshe again, and he warned her, "Make sure you leave over leket, shikha, and peah, the parts of the wheat which is for the poor." And after she collected the wheat, Moshe warned her again and said to her, "Don't forget to separate the truma for the kohen, the miser for the levi, and the miser sheni."
And the poor widow decided that it didn't pay for her to keep her field. So she sold it and bought 2 sheep. She planned to use their wool for warm clothing, and their babies she would slaughter and use for food for her family. When the sheep gave birth, Aaron came along and said, "Give me the firstborn." The bechor of a sheep goes to the Kohen. Hashem said, "It is mine." And then when she cut off the sheep's wool, Aaron came again saying to her, "The first wool cuttings of your sheep belong to me." "How much more will this man ask for me?" thought the widow. "Let me just slaughter my sheep and eat them." And as soon as the sheep were slaughtered, there was Aaron again, and he says, "Give me the shoulder, the jaws, and the stomach. That belongs to the Kohen."
"Oh, no! What am I going to do now? As much as I give you, it's not enough," called out the widow. "I would rather just give away the sheep as a cherem to Hashem."
"That's just good," said Aaron happily. "Now all of it belongs to me, because Hashem said in the Torah that every cherem belongs to the Kohanim." And Aaron took everything away from her, leaving the poor widow and her daughters crying. You see, people, whatever Moshe and Aaron does, whatever they say, it's only for their own benefit. They rob you, and they tell you that Hashem told them to do so. Yes, Kindalach. This was a story that Korach just made up to get the people angry. Korach went on and on, telling the people more and more things against Moshe, until he gained 250 followers. He dressed them up in garments of Techeles, that is, in blue garments that he made special to order, and he had them all appear before Moshe. Korach himself was against the idea that Moshe made Aaron the Kohen Gadol and the Levim to do the work in the Mishkan. Korach wanted that the Bechorim of all the Shvatim should be the ones to work in the Mishkan. Now, Kinalach, Korach was also joined by another group, who was Dasan and Aviram and their followers. There was nothing that they asked for themselves. They were just big Rishayim, who was always against Moshe and Aaron's leadership. Whenever there was trouble, Dasan and Aviram were always there. They always looked for trouble. They loved any opportunity to make an argument, to make fights, to make machloikas. That's all they were interested in. Dasan and Aviram would have liked to see themselves become the heads instead of Moshe and Aaron. Now the 250 people who Korach got to follow him were most of Shevet Reuven, who were Korach's neighbors. As our Chachamim say, this is a lesson for us. Toiv l'tzadik, toiv l'shcheinoi. If you have a good neighbor, it's good for you too. But oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheinoi. Someone who has a bad neighbor, it's bad for him too. And since Shevet Reuven were the neighbors of Korach, it affected them, and that's where Korach got most of his followers from. The Torah itself does not tell us the names of these 250 people, but from the way the Torah talks about them, the Torah says they were Nesi'ei Eda, Anshei Shem, that they were great leaders, people with a great name. We understand who they are. Elitzer ben Shedeur, the leader of Shevet Reuven, and all of his friends, and other men of similarly high positions. And now, all dressed up in blue garments, Kairach, Dothan, and Aviram, and the 250 men came before Moshe and Aaron. Kairach stood in front of them and started to speak to Moshe. He said, "You commanded us to put a techelah string on our garments. We did even better than that. We made garments which were completely of techelahs. Tell us, does such a garment still need a single techelah string on each corner or not?" Kairach's plan was like this. If Moshe would answer no, that it's enough that the whole garment is techelahs and they don't need another separate string, then Kairach would say, "The same thing as with all the Yidden. Since all the Yidden are holy, we don't need Aaron to be separate, a Kohen Gadol and other Kohenim to represent them before Hashem." And if Moshe would say, on the other hand, that they do need another string of techelahs on each corner, even though the whole garment is techelahs, Kairach would then start laughing of this mitzvah and say that Moshe made up the mitzvah by himself. Now what did Moshe say to him? "I heard from Hashem that even a garment that is completely techelahs still needs a techelah string on each corner." Kairach began laughing, making fun of the mitzvah of tzitzis. And from this he went to other mitzvahs, and he began to laugh at all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Kairach called out and said, "We heard only 10 commandments at Har Sinai. We have never heard from Hashem all these laws about Truma and Maser and Challah or Tzitzis. You, Moshe, made them up on your own in order to rule over us and to bring honor to you and your brother. What did the Jewish people gain from you, Moshe, since you became our leader and since Aaron became the Kohen Gadol? You made life so difficult for us. It's so much more difficult than it was in Mitzrayim. We now have to pay Truma to the Kohanim and Maser to the Levim, and we have to give 24 different gifts to the Kohanim. And besides, since the story of the Meraglim, every year another 15,000 Jews are going to pass away. You have taken for yourself too many positions. You became the king, your brother the Kohen Gadol, you have no right to make yourself the leaders over us. All the Jews are holy, and the Shechina is within all of us." Kairach and his followers were ready to stone Moshe and Aaron. Moshe fell on his face to show that he doesn't want to be a leader and a boss over anyone. He just did it because Hashem appointed him so. Calmly, Moshe answered Kairach, "I don't seek power. My brother Aaron doesn't seek to be the Kohen Gadol." Moshe said to Kairach and all the people who were gathered there, "You claim that I seek greatness, that I appointed Aaron as the Kohen Gadol because he is my brother. And you say that I made his sons Kohanim because they are my nephews? And you said that I chose the Levim to work in the Mishkan instead of the Becharim because of my own reasons and not because Hashem said so? And you also say that I myself is the one who decided that the Levim should help Aaron instead of also being Kohanim? Let me explain something to you first. Let me show you that you're making a big mistake. Hashem didn't ask my opinion as to who should be chosen for any of these special positions. Just as Hashem has separated day and night, so that all the magicians of Mitzrayim cannot turn day into night,
or night and today? The same thing Hashem separated certain Yidden to be holy unto Him and to do this special holy work in the Mishkan? Just as Hashem separated the Yidden from the other nations, Hashem separated Aaron from within the Yidden to be Kodesh HaKadoshim, Holy of Holies, and the Kohanim to be holier than all the other Yidden. We can't change this system, just like you can't change day into night or night into day. I understand what you want, that many people from all the Shvatim should serve in the Mishkan. And it is so in the nations of the world. The Goyish nations have many Kohanim because they worship many Getchkes. And every Getchke has its own temple, its own house, and its own Kohen, its own priest. But we Yidden are different. We only have one God, and we all believe in one Torah. Hashem said that there should be only one Kohen Gadol, one whom He chose to serve Hashem in the Mishkan. He appointed only one Shevet, the Shevet Levi, from whom there are Kohanim and Leviim, and therefore it's impossible for all of you who are assembled here to have a share in the service in the Mishkan. And if you don't believe me, let us make a test tomorrow. Today, I have no permission to perform this experiment. Moshe thought that if he tells them to make the test tomorrow, then maybe Korach would change his mind. Maybe they would realize their mistake and do teshuvah. And then they won't need this test. And here is what Moshe told them to do. Anyone who feels that he has chosen to serve Hashem in the Mishkan may come here tomorrow morning with a pan filled with ketores, that is, the special spices that is burnt on a special pan in the Mishkan by the Kohen Gadol. So whoever wants, and he feels that he is chosen to do it, let him come with a pan filled with ketores and offer it up. And you all know that someone who is not a Kohen who brings ketores is punished with death by Hashem. So, if you are going to be saved from death, that means that all of your complaints are correct, and you all deserve to work in the Mishkan. Yes, that will prove that you are all right. But I warn you, this is a very dangerous chance. This is a dangerous test, because only the holiest person will stay alive, and all the rest are going to die. Now when Korach heard this from Moshe, he thought to himself, I have nothing to lose. I know that if such great people are going to come out of my family, so I will surely not die. I'll surely remain alive. But kindalach, Korach made a mistake. He didn't realize that those great people that are going to come from his family are going to come from his children. But Korach himself is going to be punished, as we're going to see later. Also, the 250 men were by now so interested in doing the special work in the Mishkan that they were willing to take the chance, even if it meant to risk their lives for it. Now, kindalach, Dasin and Aviram were not interested in Moshe's speech and suggestion to make a test. So while Moshe was still speaking, Dasan and Aviram went back to their tents, and the next morning they didn't even come for the test. Moshe continued to speak to Korach with gentle words, hoping to end the argument.